Well, hello there, and welcome to True Crime Bones, with me, your host, Marissa Bones. And in this episode, we will be discussing the case of the 37-year-old Elsie Mase Chabalala, who was stabbed to death outside in broad daylight by a jealous ex-boyfriend, 36-year-old Thabang Leonard Mokwabe, who used the same butcher knife he used to slaughter cows with at funerals. On October the 13th, 2019, which was a sunny Sunday in a small town called Vichy, just outside of Kimberley, Northern Cape, South Africa. This led to Thabang being handed down the sentence of life imprisonment just last week, actually, which was Tuesday, March the 16th, 2021. But first, a new Patreon shout out to Shawaya from Abnormal Heights Podcast, which will be launching very soon, by the way. But in the meantime, you should definitely check out her Instagram page at Abnormal Heights Pod, where she posts weekly true crime content and everyone's favorite memes. Welcome to the skeleton crew, Shawaya, and thank you for the support, as it really means and helps a lot. I will add all the necessary information and links in the episode description, as well as on my Instagram page at truecrime.bones. Plus, the Patreon link will also be available if you would like to support this podcast and become part of the skeleton crew. So with that being said, let's get into it. First, start with the victim. The woman whose life was brutally cut short in the same street she lived. In fact, it was three houses down from her home. Now, this all happened in the small town of Vichy. It's just outside of Kimberley. And the reason I add the fact that it's just outside of Kimberley is because Vichy is so small that the basic stuff, you can get like your milk and bread, stuff like that, you can get in Vichy. But everything else, like police, you go to Kimberley. It's the closest town nearby. And in fact, Kimberley is where I grew up. Kimberley is not big, but compared to Vichy, is the biggest town you can find. So, just that to give you an idea, I mean, if you drive through Vichy, if you don't look up in that 1 minute, you missed it. It's gone. Now, 37-year-old Elsie Chabalala lived with her family in the home. They all share together in Vichy, which is a normal thing. Well, for us, South Africa. Well, no, everyone together. Elsie was also financially responsible for her 76-year-old grandmother, who suffered from two strokes after Elsie was murdered. Needless to say, the family was not doing well after this, after the murder. I mean, what family wouldn't? It's horrific. But from the sister, what the sister, Elsie's sister said, grandmother barely talks. She was at the trial, you know, every court scene, hearing everything, but a body gave in. Now, the family came together to take over the financial part that Elsie used to handle for her grandmother, but things were still hard, and they're all in mourning. So
It's tough. It's sad. Luckily, Elsie didn't leave any children behind. So that's one good thing. Now, with that said, next, we can talk about the murderer, Thabang. Thabang Leonard Mokobai, one of three brothers, one brother being a pastor, hence why he slaughters cows at funerals, as it's what some cultures do in South Africa. The other brother being a truck driver. And just like Elsie, Thabang also financially responsible for his 61-year-old mother, as well as a very small child from a previous relationship, as well as the woman he was seeing at the time, which was not Elsie. Yes, you heard me right. It was dated. At the time, he wasn't even dating Elsie, as she had broken up with him 3 weeks prior to, you know, him murdering her. After they've been in a on and off again relationship since 2010, where in that on and off again relationship, he had a child with another woman and, you know, dated other people. It was a weird situation. They would constantly, okay, she would break up with him over and over, and he would date other people. He was allowed, you know, be happy, date other women, have child, also date them, the woman while he was still dating her. Then he would crawl back to her, beg her to take him back, she would take him back, and the cycle would continue. So he was only allowed, though, to have relationships in between and be happy. Not her. No. She was in love. You know? He took possession of her. It's like he owned her. It was a very abusive relationship. Where as long as she isn't with anyone else, everything, you know, it's okay. But this time, what made the breakup different, I wouldn't say break the camel's back, because that's not the right thing to say. The explosion, the main thing that happened, is the fact that this time when she broke up with Thabang, it wasn't because of, you know, his cheating, his behavior, him being abusive towards her. Is the fact that she left him for someone else, another man. And he couldn't handle it. She fell in love with someone else and she wanted to be happy. But Thabang on the other side said, nope, that's not how it's gonna work. Now, next, we're going to get into the murder. Now, despite Thabang's lawyer's best efforts to portray him as a productive member of society who didn't pose much of a threat to the general community, as he was a man recovering from a broken heart, who, while being not highly emotional, went to confront the woman who broke his heart, and that this murder was in the heat of the moment, a crime of passion, if you will. Where on October the 13th, 2019, he went up to Elsie, was outside, confronting her about a new boyfriend, Sissel Klaassen. Now, what was exactly said between them is not fully known, as we only have from when she started screaming what bystanders heard, witnesses heard, and then from his testimony, which we will get into later. But we also will learn that DeBong's testimony, yeah, he's not a reliable witness, which shouldn't come as a shock. So, exactly what happened, up to her pleading for her life, we will never fully know. But he went to her, next thing, her screaming, pleading, begging for her life, as she was on her knees and clapping her hands together in a praying type motion as this was happening. That's when Tabang grabbed her hands together with his one hand and started stabbing her with his butcher's knife. It's absolutely horrible. Now, it's the same knife he used to slaughter cows with. Elsie obviously screamed and tried to get away, but to no avail, as one of her arteries were severed in her neck, while another of her, the 6 stab wounds penetrated the upper part of her chest and lacerated her lungs, butchering her in broad daylight in front of people, as well as a screaming young boy who would go on to testify in court to this horrific event. Hence, we were able to know that how it happened word-wise, what was said, but only from when she started pleading for her life. Now, needless to say, the efforts of Tabang's lawyers didn't fare so well. I mean, if you have that, what happened, people saw. With the added fact that, if we take into account that 13 years prior to this event, he was handed down a suspended sentence for assault. Which, yeah, not a lot of information is available about that. And the fact that he threatened Elsie, as well as, I don't know, for me, the fact that he, as a man who is supposedly grieving, recovering from a broken heart, but is already dating someone else, I don't take that. That also for me is like a add-in. I mean, can't be recovering that hard if you've been dating someone already. So, we will be getting into the events of what happened leading up to that day and that day itself. We'll start by getting into the love triangle. Or should I say like square? So this is quite a situation. Now, as we know, Elsie broke up with Tabang 3 weeks prior to him murdering her. Now, at first glance, it's not that out of the ordinary, as she broke up and then took him back and break up and take him back countless times over a 9-year span. But no, this time it was different, because this time it was for another man, Sissel Klaassen, who is originally from Graaf-Reinet, a small town in the Eastern Cape, but was temporarily situated during this time in Erichi for construction work. So that's how they met. Small town. I mean, everyone, one person comes in their town, you're gonna know. So Cecil would actually go on to state, to testify during trial, that he had been in a relationship, in Elsie had been in a relationship since 2 months prior to her death. So she was, they were basically, well, they were already dating, so she was basically having an affair with Cecil Slosser before, you know, breaking off her relationship with Devon, who, by the way, was also having an affair that started months earlier with the woman he would continue to date until the trial. So yes, Elsie was already dating Clarissa, and before technically breaking up with Tabang, as well as Tabang was, she was at least 2 months prior. Tabang was already seeing this woman. I can't give you an accurate month, but it's, I know it's over 4 months before, you know, she left him. And still he was saying, I don't know much about the cheating side, obviously, but I would think if you're in a relationship and your woman, well, cheating, and the woman in your relationship breaks up with you, even though she doesn't know you're cheating yet, you continue on dating this woman you were cheating with, isn't it like a win? I don't know. But also we have to take into account, he is a possessor. It wasn't as much as him, her leaving him, but it was her leaving him for someone else. The fact that he lost her, the ability to control her. So that, it's, yeah. Now, at first, Elsie and Tabang, after the breakup, no, just after it, Tabang and Elsie would still talk. I mean, it's a small town. But then things would slowly start escalating, leading up to that 3 week period, or in that 3 week period, as he would constantly come over to her house when Clarissa was at work, you know, to hang out. It's like, it didn't kick in, the fact that she broke up with him really this time, you know? But at the same time, it was for her, also a new, I don't know, I'd say, thing. I mean, okay. They are still in the same mindset. Even though she has someone else, think, if you are in this pattern, mindset, abusive relationship, unhealthy, you don't just get over it out of night, overnight. And it's something that takes years to shake, even. And sometimes you're still left with emotional scars. I mean, for those who have been in an abusive relationship, physical or mental, you know, I myself, I mean, I still get nightmares, and it's been years later. You have still, it's like you have to relearn yourself, teach yourself, you know, different behaviors, different ways of coping. So everything was still new. They all were in this whole mess. But that doesn't take away from the fact that, you know, she wanted to be away from him. Then, you know, she wanted to be with someone else, another man. Now, obviously this is an unhealthy situation, and the grandmother stepped in. She decided nope. And that's when everything happened. as until that fateful Sunday of the 13th of October, 2019, when Elsie's grandmother had enough, you know, like she decided no, and invited both of them in, Klaase, Sissel Klaase and Tabang, over for to join the family meeting on the Sunday morning. No, so that they all could talk, the men could talk it out, and that basically Elsie can choose in front of everyone, you know. Not just choose, like, finally, well, she's going to choose, but finally sit her mind right, like, or not mind right. I'm using the wrong words. No, if it's in front of everyone, said and done, you know, she would be able to move on. So this is also for her to choose in front of everyone who she's going to be with and who she's then going to put out of her life for good. Now, this at this family meeting was the first time Tabang and Sissel Klaase actually met. I mean, it's also a very unique and also unhealthy way of meeting, but it is what it is. It had to be done. I don't know if it's good to do things, but either way, something had to be done. Now, after the family meeting that morning, in which Elsie, of course, chose Sissel Klaase in front of her whole family, Tabang went up to Klaase, shook his hand and congratulated him, as if she's a freaking prize or something, and went home, but not before, you know, threatening Elsie, giving a quick threat, trying to bet, and then went home, stewing and getting worked up, angered of everything, you know, and from there he would go and choose the biggest knife he could find, which is his butcher knife, and go to Elsie. Now, he had a different story, as we'll get into next, a version of events, but from events and everything gathered, what happened is, obviously out of hate, the fact he couldn't own her, and the fact that he was humiliated, let's be honest, that must be humiliating to go through that situation. And took the biggest knife he could find and went to Elsie to confront her. But obviously, he went there with bad intentions. Why would he take the biggest knife? Yeah? So, it's not a hit in the spur of the moment. I mean, then you wouldn't take the knife. They argued. Well, he stabbed her 6 times, left her in the street bleeding, and then walked away to a sports field nearby and sat on the stairs in the pavilion, where he was later then arrested. Just like that. So, with that said, we are now going to get into testimonies made during the trial. Tabang told the court that he could not remember stabbing Elsie, and he could only recall wrestling with her, as Elsie had been trying to stop him from confronting Sissel. He said, and I quote, "I don't remember when and where the stabbing started. All I remember is that we were wrestling where she wanted to stop me from going back into her yard to confront Sissel, I only came to my senses when I felt something hit me on my shoulder. When I turned around, I saw a man looking around for stones. I also heard someone calling me by my nickname. That is when I saw Elsie in front of me and realized the knife was in my hand. End quote. When asked why he had taken a knife from his home, when he went to go and confront Elsie, which, by the way, he actually said that he went to according to Tabang, he said he went to confront Klaase, not Elsie. But so, gonna go with here with the fact that he went to go confront Klaase, but we know it was originally Elsie. But yeah, when the court asked him why he took the knife, he said it was for self-defense, you know, protection. Which, let's be honest, that's call a spade a spade. It's BS. I'm gonna curse. I'm not for cursing a lot normally. I'm gonna try not to this time. Well, not normally on this on my podcast, but I curse a lot in life general. So it's really hard for me. Why take the knife protection? You know, this is also what the judge used. He said later on during, you know, when he was sentenced, one of the reasons is like why they charge him with not with premeditated murder as well, and not you know, this something that just happened as crime of passion, is if he didn't think this through before, he wouldn't have taken the knife and walked with it, you know, and took the biggest knife you could find. There's so many other objects you can take, but take the biggest knife when you went to go see it. And I mean, on the walk, he had ample amount of time to think this through, change his mind, so no, said he was premeditated. Now, Tabang also went on to say, state that, and I quote, "I did not intend to kill anyone. After Elsie dumped me in front of her family, I took Cecil's hand and congratulated him before leaving her home. I did not want to cause a scene out of respect for her mother. I started getting worked up while lying on my bed at my place. I wanted to tell him to leave us alone because he was returning to his home soon, and I would have to fix the mess while he returns to his family in the Eastern Cape." End quote. Yeah, you can hear Tabang still has that thing. It's still stuck in front that she's his, you know? And what he means with mess is, yes, they haven't worked out, well, for her untimely death, Klaase and Elsie, how the relationship would continue forward, and since he would only be there still for another couple of months for work before going back, you know, to his home and Graaf Reinet. But I mean, they would have worked out something, pretty sure about that. But Tabang already thinks, you know, he would leave her, she would be a mess, heartbroken, and he would have to come in, save the day. How dare Klaase, you know, do that? Which gives you just an idea of how his mind works. Tabang also actually went on to state that he found Cecil earlier that Sunday morning, you know, before the whole family meeting, and told him that he must break up with Elsie, which, according to, you know, Tabang, Klaase agreed. He said, yes, no problem. At the family meeting, you know, I will, if she chooses me, I will say no, I'll break up with her, go on. This was, of course, lies. as not only by testimonies made by, you know, Klaasa and the members of the family, which proved Thabang lying, but the evidence, you know, phone call records and all that also was against him. And so I said, it's an unreliable witness. And it's because of that, and the fact that, you know, they had to go back and check phone calls and everything, that the case, he would have actually been sentenced in December last year, 2020. Would have been already been sentenced, but because of delays due to this, yeah, I've moved up. By the way, still got sentenced. I mean, he actually hasn't, he never even spoke to Klaasa before the day they met at the home. Anyway, Thabang said, and I quote, "On my way to Sisal, I told myself that this is not who I am." And I told, sorry, my bad. Manana, I've re-recorded this. Well, the first time it was, let me see, 19 times. Now this, like the whole episode part, now this part, but this, going for the 13th time. I don't know how to edit it in. I thought, need equipment. but I skipped a quote. Hold on. After the testimony testified, or testimony, facts came in that, you know, lied, everything. Thabang gone to say, and I quote, that he was on his way to confront Sisal when he decided to further fix things with, to rather fix things with Elsie and leave Sisal, you know, out of the matter. On my way to Sisal, I told myself that this is not who I am and changed directions to Elsie's home. I decided not to go closer when I saw her sitting under the veranda with Sisal. I called her and she said she was coming. And I waited for her. Then I called her again. She then joined me outside her yard and suggested that we move towards the corner of the street as she complained that we were starting to attract people's attention. I was trying to keep calm when I was talking to her and she kept on promising me that she would deal with Sisal in her own way. I then told her that I no longer trusted her and would rather go on and deal with Sisal myself. That's when she started pulling me back, trying to stop me from going to Sisal. We wrestled because she was trying to stop me. End quote. Now, here you have it from his point of view. First of all, he was now on his way to Klaas's house, which, by the way, how does he know where Klaas lives? He never actually even had Klaas's number. And if they so-called spoke for the first time that morning, Klaas wouldn't tell him where he's living. Klaas had just agreed to, you know, say he wouldn't break up with her. Now, this is supposedly because we know that didn't happen. But no mention of where he lives, nothing like that was mentioned. No, where Klaas lives. So, on his way to Klaas, he would just think, okay, let's go to Elsie's. Now, it's a Sunday afternoon by now. And I don't know about you guys, but on Sundays, people be chilling, having Sunday lunch, families get together. Some things are, so obviously, the Klaasa would stay there that day. He's the chosen one. It's just how things are. And He should have known it. He did know. It's also worth it. I think it was his way of using his excuse. And getting her outside. He obviously did call her to get outside her house. But he said, you know, at first he was trying to be calm. Now she just said that, you know, she would take care of Cecil herself. But why would she also ask him that they just move to the corner of the street? Because they were starting to get people's attention. I mean, it must mean that arguing started from the start. It wasn't such a subtle, you know, conversation. I mean, it's a small town, everything, as soon as but people start talking very loud. People are going to watch. But because also it's a small town, people are so used to being outside in the street. It's still like an old-timey town, you know. People are playing outside, being outside, just chilling. It's not like you can go to a mall or anything, whatever there. Anyone knows everyone. So that already shows. And I took the part where he's like, she kept saying, you know, she's gonna take care of Cecil, you know, on her own way, as she keeps, I think that is like where the pleading part came in, where she actually pleaded for life and he saw it as a different way, but that's just speculation on my part. Don't take that with, it's my personal way, point of view. Now, Debang stated that that was the last thing he remembered about the fight. He was arrested at a nearby stadium by police. Sorry, helicopters. By the way, ironically, it's the police flying by. Yes, to those outside of Africa, and just been keeping up with where I live. And unfortunately, that my dangerous surroundings has had a shooting just last week, actually. So it's a week ago, to be exact. No, please, not always showing up quick. You can only know. We do have the occasional helicopters. Please, helicopters. I'm just joking. Continue to the police. Arrest him. He said, and I quote, when they arrested him, I put the knife down at the pavilion stairs and waited for the police. During the arrest, I realized that I had thrown my whole life away. End quote. Yes, because it's all about him. Not the fact that he just murdered a woman. Traumatized so many people. No, it's him. And I mean, if he can't remember much, like, you know, you can't remember anything from when you went up to her, there is, you don't remember, but he can recall her pleading as a result, and this stuff just doesn't make, you know, it just doesn't add up. With that, Tabang Leonard Mokubai was found guilty for the murder of Elsie Mase Jabalala, who he had stabbed 6 times and left in the street to die. And on March the 16th, 2021, was handed down a life sentence by the Northern Cape High Court. The judge, Lawrence Lever, went on to say, and I quote, "The accused did not show remorse and made the murder sound like a mistake that he made. He did not take full responsibilities for his actions. Instead, he said sorry for ruining his own life by committing the murder. He felt he had control over Chabalala and felt that he owned her. No one has the right to do that. It is unacceptable in society." End quote. I mean, Judd said what we all were thinking. When the sentence was handed down, Tabang broke out in tears. He did kind of try to apologize to the family who was there at court, you know, grandmother, just, but it, not the judge nor, you know, prosecutor, family, said that that apology was sincere. They all said that that apology was more to him, for himself. It's just, he got caught, that he did this, in the sense like he ruined his own life, not the fact that he ruined everyone else's life as well. Family is happy, you know, he seemed to hand down the last sentence, but as I said, it won't heal, you know, it won't bring them her back. Now, with this, I will put out a photo of Tabang Leonard on my Instagram at truecrime.bones. Firstly, due to reasons I couldn't find out why, I spoke to a police officer I know in Kimberley, and I tried to find out what's the reason. He just said, I don't know, but Elsie's won't, there's no release made, no media, no one except obviously her family has allowed to have any photos of Elsie. That's why it was also such a hard thing for me. I can't give you, like, what a family did for a living, unlike with Tabang, the two brothers. So I'll be sharing a photo of Tabang. Unfortunately, there won't be a photo of Elsie. I'm sorry. I did try everything, but law is the law. And unlike the other people here we discuss on this channel, not your podcast, I try and abide by it. Well, and it's really impossible to find.
If you made it to this end, then thank you, you legendary listener. Yes, you. I mean you. Thank you for listening. You are amazing. Each listen means a lot. So yes, when you go to sleep tonight, or whenever after listening to this, you tap us on the shoulder and be like, I'm legendary. Because you are. Thank you so much. And once again, I also just like to thank Choya from Abnormal Heights Podcast. Check out on Insta for supporting me on Patreon. That helps a lot. As you guys can hear, want to work up, get better. I can't do it without you guys. So thank you for that. And remember, stay safe and cry. Never sleeps in South Africa. Ta-da!